rewiring in the brain. This is incredibly exciting news. It means that we aren't held captive for the rest of our lives by the way our brain works at this moment. We can actually rewire it so that we can be healthier and happier. This is true not only for children and adolescents, but also for each of us across the lifespan. Right now, your child's brain is constantly being wired and rewired, and the experiences you provide will go a long way toward determining the structure of her brain. No pressure, right? Well, don't worry, though. Nature has provided that the basic architecture of the brain will develop well given proper food, sleep, and stimulation. Genes, of course, play a large role in how people turn out, especially in terms of temperament. But findings from various areas in developmental psychology suggest that everything that happens to us, the music we hear, the people we love, the books we read, the kind of discipline we receive, the emotions we feel, profoundly affects the way our brain develops. In other words, on top of our basic brain architecture and our inborn temperament, parents have much they can do to provide the kinds of experiences that will help develop a resilient, well-integrated brain. This book will show you how to use everyday experiences to help your child's brain become more and more integrated. For example, children whose parents talk with them about their experiences tend to have better access to the memories of those experiences. Parents who speak with their children about their feelings have children who develop emotional intelligence and can understand their own and other people's feelings more fully. Shy children, whose parents nurture a sense of courage by offering supportive explorations of the world, tend to lose their behavioral inhibition, while those who are excessively protected or insensitively thrust into anxiety-provoking experiences without support tend to maintain their shyness. There is a whole field of the science of child development and attachment backing up this view, and the new findings in the field of neuroplasticity support the perspective that parents can directly shape the unfolding growth of their child's brain according to what experiences they offer. For example, hours of screen time, playing video games, watching television, texting, will wire the brain in certain ways. Educational activities, sports, and music will wire it in other ways. Spending time with family and friends and learning about relationships, especially with face-to-face interactions, will wire it in yet other ways. Everything that happens to us affects the way the brain develops. This wire and rewire process is what integration is all about, giving our children experiences to create connections between different parts of the brain. When these parts collaborate, they create and reinforce the integrative fibers that link different parts of the brain. As a result, they are connected in more powerful ways and can work together even more harmoniously. Just as individual singers in a choir can weave their distinct voices into a harmony that would be impossible for any one person to create, an integrated brain is capable of doing much more than its individual parts could accomplish alone. That's what we want to do for each of our kids, help their brain become more integrated so they can use their mental resources to full capacity. This is exactly what Mariana did for Marco. When she helped him retell the story over and over again, E-ah-woo-woo, she diffused the scary and traumatic emotions in his right brain so that they didn't rule him. She did so by bringing in factual details and logic from his left brain, which, at 2 years old, is just beginning to develop, so that he could deal with the accident in a way that made sense to him. If his mother hadn't helped him tell and understand the story, Marco's fears would have been left unresolved and could have surfaced in other ways. He might have developed a phobia about riding in cars or being separated from his parents, or his right brain might have raged out of control in other ways, causing him to tantrum frequently. Instead, by telling the story with Marco, Mariana helped focus his attention both on the actual details of the accident and on his emotions, which allowed him to use both the left and right sides of his brain together, literally strengthening their connection. We'll explain this particular concept much more fully in Chapter 2. By helping him become more integrated, he could return to being a normal, developing 2-year-old rather than dwelling on the fear and distress he had experienced. Let's look at another example. Now that you and your siblings are adults, do you still fight over who gets to push the button for the elevator? Of course not. Well, we hope not. But do your kids squabble and bicker over this kind of issue? If they're typical kids, they do. The reason behind this difference brings us back to the brain and integration. Sibling rivalry is like so many other issues that make parenting difficult. Tantrums, disobedience, homework battles, discipline matters, and so on. As we'll explain in the coming chapters, these everyday parenting challenges result from a lack of integration within your child's brain. The reason her brain isn't always capable of integration is simple. It hasn't had time to develop. In fact, it's got a long way to go, since a person's brain isn't considered fully developed until she reaches her mid-20s. So that's the bad news. You have to wait for your child's brain to develop. That's right. No matter how brilliant you think your preschooler is, she does not have the brain of a 10-year-old and won't for several years. The rate of brain maturation is largely influenced by the genes we inherit, but the degree of integration may be exactly what we can influence in our day-to-day parenting. The good news is that by using everyday moments, you can influence how well your child's brain grows toward integration. First, you can develop the diverse elements of your child's brain by offering opportunities to exercise them. Second, you can facilitate integration so that the separate parts become better connected and work together in powerful ways. This isn't making your children grow up more quickly. It's simply helping them develop the many parts of themselves and integrate them. We're also not talking about wearing yourself and your kids out by frantically trying to fill every experience with significance and meaning. We're talking about simply being present with your children so you can help them become better integrated. As a result, they will thrive emotionally, intellectually, and socially. An integrated brain results in improved decision-making, better control of body and emotions, fuller self-understanding, stronger relationships, and success in school. And it all begins with the experiences parents and other caregivers provide, which lay the groundwork for integration and mental health.
Get in the flow, navigating the waters between chaos and rigidity. Let's get a little more specific about what it looks like when a person, child or adult, is living in a state of integration. When a person is well integrated, he enjoys mental health and well-being. But that's not exactly easy to define. In fact, even though entire libraries have been written discussing mental illness, mental health is rarely defined. Dan has pioneered a definition of mental health that researchers and therapists around the world are now beginning to use. It's based on the concept of integration and involves an understanding of the complex dynamics surrounding relationships and the brain. A simple way to express it, though, is to describe mental health as our ability to remain in a river of well-being. Imagine a peaceful river running through the countryside. That's your river of well-being. Whenever you're in the water, peacefully floating along in your canoe, you feel like you're generally in a good relationship with the world around you. You have a clear understanding of yourself, other people, and your life. You can be flexible and adjust when situations change. You're stable and at peace. Sometimes, though, as you float along, you veer too close to one of the river's two banks. This causes different problems depending on which bank you approach. One bank represents chaos, where you feel out of control. Instead of floating in the peaceful river, you are caught up in the pull of tumultuous rapids, and confusion and turmoil rule the day. You need to move away from the bank of chaos and get back into the gentle flow of the river. But don't go too far, because the other bank presents its own dangers. It's the bank of rigidity, which is the opposite of chaos. As opposed to being out of control, rigidity is when you are imposing control on everything and everyone around you. You become completely unwilling to adapt, compromise, or negotiate. Near the bank of rigidity, the water smells stagnant, and reeds and tree branches prevent your canoe from flowing in the river of well-being. So one extreme is chaos, where there's a total lack of control. The other extreme is rigidity, where there's too much control, leading to a lack of flexibility and adaptability. We all move back and forth between these two banks as we go through our days, especially as we're trying to survive parenting. When we're closest to the banks of chaos or rigidity, we're farthest from mental and emotional health. The longer we can avoid either bank, the more time we spend enjoying the river of well-being. Much of our lives as adults can be seen as moving along these paths, sometimes in the harmony of the flow of well-being, but sometimes in chaos, in rigidity, or zigzagging back and forth between the two. Harmony emerges from integration. Chaos and rigidity arise when integration is blocked. All of this applies to our kids as well. They have their own little canoes, and they float down their own river of well-being. Many of the challenges we face as parents result from the times when our kids aren't in the flow, when they're either too chaotic or too rigid. Your 3-year-old won't share his toy boat at the park? Rigidity. He erupts into crying, yelling, and throwing sand when his new friend takes the boat away? Chaos. What you can do is help guide your child back into the flow of the river, into a harmonious state that avoids both chaos and rigidity. The same goes for older children. Your normally easygoing 5th grader is crying hysterically because she didn't get the solo she wanted in the school play. She refuses to calm down and repeatedly tells you that she has the best voice in her grade. She's actually zigzagging back and forth between the banks of chaos and rigidity as her emotions have clearly taken control of her logic. As a result, she stubbornly refuses to acknowledge that someone else might be just as talented. You can guide her back into the flow of well-being so that she can achieve better balance within herself and move into a more integrated state. Don't worry, we'll offer you plenty of ways to do this. Virtually all survival moments fit into this framework in one way or another. We think you may be astounded to see how well the ideas of chaos and rigidity help you understand your child's most difficult behaviors. These concepts actually allow you to take the temperature of how well integrated your child is at any given moment. If you see chaos and/or rigidity, you know she's not in a state of integration. Likewise, when she is in a state of integration, she demonstrates the qualities we associate with someone who is mentally and emotionally healthy. She is flexible, adaptive,